Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today's Q&A day. We're also going to talk, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about holiday busyness, overwhelm, those kinds of things. Y'all can ask questions if you'll just pop them over into the Q&A. So that would be amazing. The chat is on. Let me get it over here. And then let me show. I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to show the captions. Okay. Should have captions on. I wish there was a way I could turn it off for me because I don't like reading them when I'm trying to speak, but I haven't figured that out with my team yet. So there's always that. Coach Lisa, I'm going to pull you up on stage. I'm also going to make you a co-host, and then that will get us almost all the way through the administrative stuff. So there we go. All right. So let me talk to y'all a little bit today about holiday business. I'll do a little busyness. Let me do a few announcements. Number one, if you're brand new and this is your first call, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a weekly call with me where we do Q&A. Sometimes I teach a little bit. It is totally optional. This is not required. This is like what we call, I like to think of it as no BS is the course. It's like your muscle and stuff. And then we've got this bubble wrap of calls and coaching and Q&As that you surround your precious no BS course muscles with. But it's totally, you get to decide how much bubble wrap you need to insulate you from the world where they're trying to tell you that you can't lose weight. So. Also, for everybody who has been a member for a while, we are in the middle of studying our self-study course called Handling the Holidays, because it is the holiday year. You can find it on the main homepage on nobswomen.com. If anybody's ever wondering, like, how do I find the website? I just keep popping into that Facebook group, wondering where the damn website is. It's called nobswomen.com. Women, is it NoBS Woman or NoBSWomen.com? Maybe it's NoBSWomen.com. So anyway, go over there, get logged in, find your courses, find everything that is available to you because we have so many goodies that you can take advantage of. Specifically, there is a calendar that has all of these calls over there so that you never, if you want to attend live or if you just want to know what's coming up for the month, so you can schedule to do a replay of it. There's a calendar that will tell you all of it, along with the Zoom links and everything. There's also a replay function over there where if you like to watch videos, you can watch the videos of these calls. We also download the chat for everyone because a lot of times our chat blows up with some really good information. We also put transcripts in there. So if you like to read or maybe you're, maybe you have like a difficulty in listening, but reading is your jam. We also offer the transcripts. And then everything is transcribed now also. So we are really trying to make sure that we do everything we possibly can that when you want to learn, when you are ready to change how you think, when you are ready to like super absorb some stuff, we give it to you in every single way possible for you. We had 14 people join the Queen's Club this week. So congratulations to all the people who have officially lost their first 25 pounds. We also had 8 women reach their goal weight this week. So we have 8 new members inside the maintenance group. So if you are closing in on maintenance, if you're just interested in what maintenance is going to look like, or if you are in maintenance, don't forget, we have a whole self-study course dedicated to the maintenance journey. And then we also had 4 different people this week hit the Century Club, which means they have lost 100 pounds. So that is Joyce Stahl, Angela Hammer, Jenny Cole, and Diane Vandenplas. Congratulations, ladies. Somebody said, what happened to pnptribe.com? Nothing. If you use that, you'll still get redirected. It's just, we're actually called the NoBS Weight Loss Program, and we've been that for 3 years. So we're still trying to get y'all to go to NoBSWomen.com. We dropped the PNP part a while back just because, let me just be real honest. I know a lot of you love it. I've got the tattoo, so it's not that Corinne hated it for any reason. It's just that when people would say like, oh my God, girl, tell me, what are you doing to lose weight? And you would say, like, you should check out Corinne over at PNP Tribe. They were like, what's that? And y'all had such, like, people were constantly telling me, it's really hard to describe. That's why we changed it. Because the main thing for me is I'm going to teach every woman on this planet how to lose weight for good and feel as amazing as she deserves. And I will not let anything, including what I have been tatted on my own body and how much I loved it, stand in the way of figuring out ways to make this program as accessible as possible. And so we changed the name 3 years ago. It's just, we all forget. Nancy's like, this is the first time I've heard of NoBSWomen.com. It's all right, Nancy. That's why I'm saying it so much on all the calls. All right. Let's talk about beating busyness and overwhelm during the holidays. Number one, overwhelm, if we all don't know, is actually a feeling. Overwhelm's not a thing. You personally aren't just overwhelmed. It's always just a feeling that's in your body. So if you're feeling a little breathy, your heart's racing, that's overwhelm. Now, overwhelm comes from thoughts that we're thinking. And the thoughts are often things like, I've got so much to do. I don't know where to start. There's too many things in front of me. When we're looking at the world and we are describing it that way, then we will feel overwhelm inside of our body. So I just wanted to start with that, because one of the things that happens during the holidays is a lot of overwhelm comes up. And when typically when we're overwhelmed, we don't make the best decisions. So tell me in the chat that when you are overwhelmed during the holidays, what are the first things you start cutting so that you can feel less stressed? Somebody give me an example. I cut out working out. I add in wine. I cut my self-care out. I just start cleaning my house, all my self-care. I cut journaling. I add in food. I stop listening to myself. I make more food. This is why we do not want to make decisions from overwhelm. So we have to learn how to notice when we're like, oh my God, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Oh my gosh, I see myself shitting on my 24-hour plan, eating more food than usual. I'm watching myself clean the house when I have other things I need to be doing. I see myself not exercising. I see myself adding nightly wine back in. That's one of the places that we can catch ourselves and say, like, oh, this means I'm deciding to do things from a mind that I need to look into. Because if I clean up my mind, I wouldn't be doing these things. So it has nothing to do. Like, this is the funny thing. When you get overwhelmed, you don't make good decisions. You don't prioritize. Like, reply in the chat. If you weren't, like, let's say we don't take away all the things that we need to do. So we're still going to buy gifts. We are still going to have a clean house. We're still going to make our 24-hour plan. We're going to do all these things, right? So all of that is just a circumstance in the world. If you were going to feel decisive instead, then what would you do? Tell me how what you do and show up would change if instead of being like, oh my God, there's so much to do and I'll never get it done. And if I don't get it done, I think everybody's going to think I'm a failure. I'm going to think I'm a failure. I'm going to think I'm a bad mother. I'm going to think I'm a terrible teacher. I'm going to think I'm going to get fired. If all of that, we stopped thinking for just a hot minute and just said, here's the list. There's shit that's important and there's shit that's not. And we feel decisive. What do we do? So we start making lists and cutting bullshit. I exercise and give less time to the cleaning. I plan like 5 minutes a day for me. I don't sit there and think I have to put me first. Like this, y'all be real careful because this happens during the holidays. This isn't, let me just side note here. This is a really great, because a lot of people are like, I'm putting me first. Y'all tell me how you feel when you think I'm putting me first. Somebody give me a selfish. That's why we have to watch that thought. Guilty. Here's three more for selfish. Now, some people feel good. Now, I feel bad because I might be hurting others. I feel like a martyr. I feel isolated. This is what we have to watch out for. For some of you, when you think I'm putting me first or I have to put me first, it feels terrible because you have an association. We're going to pretend that putting you first is now just a fact. Some of you have thoughts like, well, when I put myself first, others are suffering. My kids are going to be mad. It's unfair. I shouldn't be spending time with me when I didn't even spend time with children all day. That's where selfishness and guilt and stuff comes from. For some of you, it feels good. If it feels good, go. But I want y'all to watch for if you think I'm going to put me first, and you're like, I know I should put me first. If you have a terrible relationship with that, it's not a good thought for you. So during the holiday season, here's how I like to think about it. Number one, I don't ever put me first. That's not how Corinne rolls. I've never rolled like that. Do you know what Corinne does? Corinne likes for everyone to win. Because if I'm putting me first and I'm the only winner, I don't like that. And if I put my husband and son first and I lose, I don't like that. So my thought isn't, I'm going first. My thought is always this. I'm going to figure out how we can all win. I also use this line of thinking a lot, especially during like really like busy times when there's a lot going on. I tell myself very often, there are times I want to put others first. And this might be one of those times. When I do that, I don't feel busy and overwhelmed. So I start looking at that list. So for all of you, go through your list when you're feeling overwhelmed and busy in the holidays. Make that major list. Decide on there, where is it that I actually like that I'm going to do these things for people? Where is it that I am willing to sacrifice some of the things I'd like to do, but I really like my reason for doing it? Then you don't feel overwhelmed, and then you're not sitting around shitting all over yourself and cutting out self-care and stuff. Even if you're not doing your self-care, it still feels like self-care because you're doing things from a genuine heart. And then there are times where I notice I have things on my list where I am like, I don't like my reasons for doing it. I'm saying yes to this simply because I want them to like me. But in my effort to get them to like me, in my people-pleasing effort, I'm cutting out all the things that I do for myself that makes me like me. So if someone's not going to like me, it really should be someone else. It should not be me. And if someone else decides to not like me based on these choices, at least I know where they stand. And at least the right person's miserable. It's the same thing with, like, a lot of you get overwhelmed the holidays. You're so worried about what people are going to think of you. So much of what you're doing is all in this effort to, like, keep up with how people think. The best statement I've heard recently is like, if somebody's going to be disappointed in me, it should be someone else. It should never be me. And a lot of you got to start thinking about that as we go through the holidays. But decide, take a look at your list and think about it. What on this list do I actually feel really good about? Just, I'll give you a good example. This is a busy week for me. I am trying to get as much work as I possibly can done. Chris is finally having surgery on Friday. I feel like we just found this stuff out 4 weeks ago, and I swear to God, this month is like gone by so slow. He's finally having surgery on Friday. And I had a lot of things for y'all to get done so that I could just take a few days off, you know, like I couldn't be filming while he, like, there's just certain things. I don't even want to go into all of it. Well, I also, every single year, I take Logan to Green Hills Mall and we have Christmas together. So it is a mall here where they decorate beautifully and it's our time. Well, in order for me to take him to the mall tomorrow, there's a lot of things I'm not going to be able to do for myself. There are lots of things that I'm just going to run out of time this week. I like my reason. I'm like, I want him to have, this may be the only chance we get to go to Chris to go, because we don't know what's going to happen with surgery. This may be our only chance to go. There are things that I would love to get ready for just for me before Chris has surgery and stuff, but I like my reasons. This is about making him happy, but this is one of those times I do want to do that. So we just have to like kind of watch. We have to like our reasons for the things that we do. So when you make your list, just make sure you like your reasons. And if you don't like your reasons, this is where we need to get brave. Sometimes we have to tell people no. Sometimes we even have to go back on what we said we would do. I have done that a lot lately. I had said a long time ago, yes to a lot of things. And here recently I've been saying, going back and saying no. And I have not used the excuse of Chris having cancer. And for anybody who that's new news to, it's very mild, very early stage. Please don't freak out and flip out. We're good. But this is the thing. I wanted to be truthful. I said yes when I shouldn't have. I'm going to need to not do this. And I have had like about 80%. No problem. 20%, some pushback. Like I said earlier, if someone's going to be disappointed, it needs to be that person. It doesn't need to be Corinne. Corinne can't afford to live the second half of her life busy and overwhelmed, trying to do all the things for everybody like she did the first half of her life. Here's the other key point about busyness and overwhelm. So when you make that list, the biggest cleanup that you're going to do is deciding what things you want to have and what things you don't want to have on the list. Here's the next piece that helps with busy and overwhelm. And I get this because I fall into this trap all the time. My team falls into this trap. I am constantly now coaching my team on this all the time. When you make your list, everything on it, number one, doesn't have to be done. I have never ever seen a busy or overwhelmed person that had a list where everything had to be done. They tell themselves it has to be done. They tell themselves it should be done. They tell themselves it must be done. And they create a lot of pressure for themselves. So don't forget, your overwhelm is not caused by your list. It is the way you're looking at your list and talking about it to yourself. Here's what I always tell myself about my lists. The first thing I do when I look at it is I remind myself, everything on a to-do list, it is impossible that it all has equal value. So everything on that list cannot be equal value. So if going to Green Hills with Logan is on there and making sure that making sure that my kitchen cabinets are purged for the house that we're moving into in February? Not equal value. Are they both important? Yes. But when you are overwhelmed with life, you automatically start thinking those cabinets have to get done and you put faux deadlines. So when you look at your list, we have to remember that a list is just things you need to do or that you've declared at some point you would like to do. And then it's up to you to decide what is the value of each one? How important is each one? Which ones are time sensitive and which ones aren't time sensitive? Now, this is all true because here's what I also witnessed 1,000 times over with y'all and 1,000 times over with me is that very often y'all will make a long list and then you run out of time. And so what happens with that list each day? It gets prioritized. You don't know you're doing it, but somewhere in your brain, you're sitting there going, well, I'm going to do this because I'm like, if you think about how, like, this the next time you're getting things done and you have a big, long list and you're like habitually, you never finish your list, you'll see, fuck, I always prioritize. Because let's say, stop the bleeding on my child's arm is on the list and feed the cat is on there. It's not like you went to bed and be like, shit, I forgot to stop the bleeding on my kid's arm today because I was so busy feeding that damn cat. You prioritize all the time. The problem is you don't give yourself credit for being smart enough to do it. So if you are someone with long lists that never get done or never get completed, you're actually telling the wrong fucking story. You're telling yourself, something's wrong with me. I don't have enough time. I'll never get it all done. You're telling such a shitty story instead of telling this story. Look at me. I got a lot done today. Or look at me. I got done the things that absolutely needed to get done today. The rest of it probably didn't need to get done today. Here's how I know. I didn't do them. The only reason I would feel bad is if I beat myself up over it. So if it's done, let's just not create a dumpster fire over it. So if your day is over, what is the point of creating a dumpster fire that something's wrong with you? You don't know how to prioritize. You have too much to do. None of that's true. So here's my last piece of advice. When you have your lists, the most helpful thing that's ever like happened for me is I make long lists. It's so much easier to have everything out of my head than for me to be like, well, I'm so afraid to see my list because then if I saw my list, then I'd be overwhelmed and then I wouldn't know what to do and then blah, blah, blah. Look, you ain't fooling your brain. You know what your brain is doing? It's trying to store all of it. And when it's trying to store all of it, it's overwhelmed because it's not only trying to store all these things that you want to remember, but you're afraid to see in the event you're feeling overwhelmed, it forgets things. Or it has to keep you up at night, or it tries to wake you up in the middle of the night, or it makes you think about it in the most inopportune times. And then you're panicking. It's like, oh my God, I hope I don't forget it, blah, blah, blah. So you ain't saving no overwhelm and you ain't saving yourself no heartache. My husband has always told me this. Your brain, its job is to solve problems, but it's a terrible storage unit. It's not meant to store things. It's just meant to solve for things. So when I make my long, long, long list, here's the two thoughts that help me. Number one is I know not all of it is supposed to be done, not even in the near future. It's just helpful to have it all out of my head so my brain can be free of trying to ping me over and over again by saying things like, you have so much to do in so little time. Hey, please don't forget this. I hope you remember. I don't want my brain pinging me all day long and all night long. That overwhelms me more. That actually breaks my workflow. The second thing I do is I take the long list and I actually get a calendar out, a real calendar. And I plug in the work to do. Everything gets a spot on my calendar. Most of the time, I will say 80% of the time, my huge long list, when I plug in the hours at which I will do it, guess what happens? I find time. Because now I'm just scheduling it instead of squeezing it in, trying to get it done, along with a lot of just bullshit thinking. 20% of the time, I legit don't have enough hours. I look and like, I don't have enough hours to get all this done. So that means I have to look at the list. This is not an invitation to get overwhelmed or whatever, or to work longer hours. It's to go through and say like, all right, where can I move things around? What could wait till next week? So even if you're going to do it day by day, it's like, what could wait till tomorrow? That's how you get through the holidays. So we're just going to cut out bullshit thinking and we're going to plan. I will show y'all. Let me see. This is probably a good week. I never do this for y'all. I do this on the business side all the time, but I'm going to share my screen. Let's just hope this works because I rarely do this in lifetime. And let's just hope that you only see the one window I want you to see, because the rest of my desktop is a hot fucking mess. All right. Who can see my calendar? Can you tell me in the chat? Let me pull the chat back up. Yes. Okay. This is my calendar this week. I get up early in the morning. I like to get up early morning. Notice my day starts at 5 a.m. Here I am at 5 a.m. doing work. Here's all my workouts all planned. Here's all my meetings. Here's all my filming. Here's all the things I got to do this week. Here's Chris's procedure. Everything's on the calendar and has a spot. Also notice that I don't have stuff planned late in the afternoons because I start early. I prefer that. I've just decided that I am going to do the things when it works best for me. Sometimes, now you will catch me in the Facebook group. I always say, Facebook group time with y'all, Facebook group time with the business membership. If y'all don't know, there's a No BS Business Women's membership also. I run both now. That's what I do in the evenings. I enjoy surfing the Facebook groups in the evening and leaving feedback and coaching. That's where I get to play with y'all. That's my thought, is I get to play with y'all. That's where I check, like Instagram. I'll leave comments and stuff. It's also when I watch a ton of Netflix. But everything has a hole. Look, there's Green Hills. There's where I'm going to the mall with Logan. It's on there. But I just put a place for all of it. I don't sit there and try to guess, am I going to have enough time? I don't sit there and worry that I don't have enough time. I just give myself something really clear. Look, here's all of your stuff that you've got to get done. Here's all the places that you need to be. Jen, is this business group a separate membership? Yes, it's a separate business membership. If you want to check it out, y'all, I know we have some business people in here. It's nobsbusinesswomen.com, and you can get all the information about the business women membership over there, but it's a completely different thing. After I learned how to, I'll just tell y'all, when I really thought about this, I just love business. You know, going from someone who had no education, I dropped out of college in the first semester, I have a high school degree, worked hard all my life, grew up in restaurants, that kind of thing. When I built my own business from scratch, and it took me 15 years to get to where we are now, one of the things I wanted to do was when I lost my weight, I knew I wanted to help women lose their weight.
Like I just knew it. And when I built this business about a year ago, I knew I also wanted to help women build businesses who don't believe that they can do it. It is scary how similar everything is for a woman. Like I'm constantly using weight loss as an example. The same shit that I went through to build the business is the same shit I went through to lose the weight. The same shit y'all go through around like, I don't believe I can. I'm not smart enough. I've never been able to. I've never done this before. It all applies. All of it. And I just knew after like about 3 years ago, when we got really good at what we do, I knew that I was supposed to like, it makes me cry when I think it, that I changed my personal mission statement. I thought I was going to be just changing family trees when it came to obesity. And I changed my personal mission statement to helping women break generational curses in health and wealth. Because that's what I've done for my family. And I just think for generations to come, if I don't change anybody's life, I just know I've changed the lives of the people I love the most. But I want to do that for both sides. Okay, let me get to the questions because, whoo, crying all morning. Okay. My husband says he's not attracted to me because of my weight. He almost left me about 10 years ago over it. I feel guilty and scared and sabotage my progress. I want him to be happy with me. How I am, but he wants me to change. This is screwing with my mind. This is the problem here. This is all the problem. Now, look, I don't want anybody bashing her husband. This is not about him. This is all about her. And here's the problem. It's kind of like what I was saying before. We need to work on you loving you, and you need to quit paying attention to what he has said. I know your brain wants to make it a problem. And I know your brain wants to think like, this is why I self-sabotage. That is not why you self-sabotage. That is not why you're keeping your weight on. Here's why. You haven't decided to do this for you. This has nothing to do with him. And the more you start getting focused on, this is how I think about me, regardless of how he thinks of me. This is what I'm going to do for myself, regardless as to what he thinks. Like, this has got to be about you. It is no different than if someone was like, I want you, as crazy as this will sound to all of you, there is no difference between losing weight for a partner who tells you I'm not attracted to you at your side than it is to lose weight for a partner where they tell you I love you just how you are, but you can't love you how you are. And so you're trying to lose weight thinking they deserve better. There's no difference. It is the same gross fucking energy. You aren't leveling up your relationship with you. So I want you to, every time you get in to thinking like, oh my God, I should do better. Oh my God, he wants a different wife and everything. I want you to like, bing. That is my brain saying, hey, I'm thinking about him because that gets your attention. When I just want you to do it for you, you don't pay attention. You disregard me, or you don't even think about that as a reason. So I got to find a reason to make this important. And the only one I can find right now is the words your partner has offered you. So I'm going to fixate on it because I would bet you at some level with you being here, you want to lose weight. You might want freedom with food. There's a thousand reasons why we all want to lose weight. And none of them have to be because someone's disappointed in us. And it doesn't even have to be because we're disappointed in us. It can literally be, I have just decided I want to lose weight. Sometimes I think shitty thoughts. Well, maybe I will learn how to think better of myself as I lose weight. So like every time I look in the mirror, instead of saying you need to lose weight, you tell yourself, I am worth the work. Maybe every time you think I'm disgusting, and I know that a lot of you do, but this is the shit I used to say to myself. I used to tell myself how disgusting I was, but there's no way Chris could love me like this. I use as an example of like, no, that is not the truth. I am not disgusting. I am someone who has extra weight on their body because they haven't learned how to not rely on food for comfort. So one of the ways that we're going to quit relying on food for comfort is to start offering ourselves comforting thoughts. Then we'll have less need for that food. Do you see how that works? No, we're not going to lose weight from hate in here. From the hate of someone else or the hate of ourselves either. So all I want you to do, Anonymous, is I just want you to say, his opinion is noted. Every time your brain wants to think about it, be like, opinion noted. But if someone in this relationship is going to be unattracted to me, if someone in this relationship is going to be disappointed in me or whatever that is, it should be him because that's his own brain. But I'm not taking that on because this time, the way I lose weight is from loving myself, talking nice to myself, celebrating myself, telling myself that everything I do is more than enough, no matter how big or small it is. And that's what we're going to do. Very hard at actually figuring out when I'm physically hungry, not just bored or have an urge. I've discovered it's actually not all that often. Well, good. I'll drink my water and wait and see what happens. But sometimes it's like one of my cues is I almost feel nauseous, which I think is just my stomach acids waiting for food. I'm not actually nauseous, but I'm having a hard time describing it. I clearly eat at that point, but I'm trying to make sure I'm not waiting too long. I feel like the diet industry has made it so I actually have to reteach myself when I'm hungry. Yeah, that is exactly what's going on because I'm so used to eating by the clock and just based on what time of day. I guess my question is, am I doing it right? I think so, Kara. Just wait. If you notice you're starting to get nauseous, go ahead and eat. There's not going to be a problem if you go ahead and eat. But you just decide. Like a lot of times, sometimes my stomach will feel like it's hungry. And I'm like, man, I just ate like an hour and a half ago. And I'll wait like 20 minutes and I'll notice it kind of goes away. But I always just give myself permission. It's like, look, if in 20 minutes, you actually still feel these physical cues or the physical cues are ramping up, just go eat. Doesn't matter if it was an hour ago or 90 minutes ago. Like the time is really the irrelevant part. The only thing that matters about the time is it's just a good check-in. Like, especially when you're first starting to learn, it's like when it comes to hunger, when you're first starting to learn, if you haven't listened to your hunger signals for a while, I would just err on the side of eating at the slightest sign. Just be like, I think this is one. I'm going to go ahead and eat. One, what that does is when we have chronically dieted, especially with diets that either really restricted us with the amount of food we could have, or maybe it really restricted very necessary macronutrients like carbohydrates or fats. That's usually the two that get restricted the most often in the last 20, 30 years. Your body actually develops a distrustful relationship with you, which means that it might sit like at the slightest sign of like it thinks it's getting empty. It goes ahead and pushes up hunger signals because it's all worried that you're going to starve it. And so in the beginning, I would just eat at the slightest sign of any and keep taking note. And then sometimes just think like, I wonder if I could wait for 15 minutes. Let's just see what happens. You create number one, like intellectually, you create a lot of trust with your body when you're listening and you're responding. You start learning like, oh, okay, I'm getting the hang of this. I'm just eating whenever I think I might be hungry. I think I'm hungry. I check for a signal. If I'm hungry, I eat. If I don't, if I'm not, I just don't eat. But we start layering in all that ease and we start layering in all that like this is just what we're going to, and trust with the body. Now, the only thing that gets in the way of that is shit like this. You shouldn't be hungry right now. You'll get fat if you eat right now. That's the hard part. Waiting for the actual hunger and just eating is not the hard part. The hard part are all the thoughts that come up. And that's the part that we start overriding. Because it's not that, like, we want those thoughts to come up, because what we want to do is we want to start retraining ourselves how to think. So we want to start retraining ourselves to think instead of, I'm afraid to get hungry. We want to be able to create safety and trust with our body that, oh, I'm going to eat when I get hungry. I won't be waiting for starvation anymore. And so we take the temperature down, and then everything gets a lot easier when it comes to waiting for hunger. We do the exact same things with enough. Like when you stop eating, you tell yourself, if you get hungry, if this isn't enough, I am sure the fridge will not have a deadbolt on it. You can always go back. There's no harm, no foul there. But the goal is to be really aware when we've had enough, to bring up, like, I don't want to waste it, or it tastes so good, or, oh my God, I'm having fun. And when I stop eating, I have to go back to work. I have to, the fun all ends. That's the stuff we actually do want to bring up, so we can start addressing the thoughts that make it hard, not the process that makes it hard. Today, I was completing my monthly assessment. I was 53% overall, so improvements are easy to find. My question, the first week of the month, I gained 4 pounds for whatever reason. I've lost that 4 pounds plus another 3.3. It really messed with my brain that my assessment only shows 3.3 pounds. I really wanted to put 7.3 pounds in the assessment. Does it really matter, or should I deal with the old shitties? I would deal with the old shitties. Like, here's my thing, Melissa. Do you want to spend, like, it didn't mess with your mind. Numbers can't mess with your mind. Here's what can happen. Oh, I noticed that I would only give myself credit. I would only talk nice to myself if I wrote down 7.3. Where's the real work here? I'm going to tell you, a pen and writing down 7.3 is easy, right? But it doesn't teach you jack shit. You know what it teaches you? To spend the rest of your life looking for external validation, and everything externally better line up just right. Otherwise, you have shitty thoughts. We don't want to teach ourselves that. You know what we want to teach ourselves? How about we're uncomfortable right now with, we're going to put down 3.3, bitch, and this is what we're going to do. Here are the thoughts we are going to think on purpose because we deserve it. Even if we don't totally believe it, I would much rather do this work here so that one day I no longer have to orchestrate my entire life to present to me perfection in order for me to have a good thought. This is the stuff we get to work on right now. Let's not hide from this. And this is such an easy win for you. It's like, it's 3.3 pounds. Like, how about we tell this story? I started the month off with a 4 pound gain. I got my shit together the rest of the month. I didn't let that 4 pounds freak me out. I might have felt freaked out at times, but I kept pursuing. I kept going. And I finished this month not just losing 4, but I lost 3.3 because I showed up like a motherfucker. And here I am getting ready to go again. How about we just tell that story? Or we could sit around and be like, well, I'm just so super disappointed I didn't get to write down 7.3. Well, this is some hosers. My brain's a mess. It's really freaking me out. Let's all focus on working on valuable quality problems. Good question. Karen. During our Thanksgiving dinner, I became very overwhelmed with the food that the family kept bringing in. Hang on, I got to make this. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how to make this bigger. Corinne can't see. Well, of course, that did nothing but stretch it out. We had appetizers and I was fine. Then the food for our meal started getting added to the island of appetizers. The island of appetizers sounds like the island of misfit toys. I noticed I was having trouble breathing and felt myself getting upset at nothing. You weren't getting upset at nothing. I want you to go back. the that feeling is worrying about Christmas. All right, Karen, the problem is you, here. All right, here's the good news, Karen. Karen, you noticed your feeling. You went and you took 10 minutes. Like, you're describing this is worrisome. We got a problem, Karen, for fuck's sake. They brought in extra food on the island. You noticed yourself getting breathy and overwhelmed. You put yourself in a high quality time out. You talked to your daughters about how you were feeling. Can we just kind of like at least tell the fucking story in a pleasant way? You're telling it like, you know, well, I'm all worried about Christmas. The worst that's going to happen at Christmas is the island of misfit food comes back and you already know how to handle it. The worst that's going to happen is you feel, what'd you say? I have trouble breathing. I was upset. That's the absolute worst. You've already displayed, you know what to do. So we can like just kind of quit worrying about Christmas. Now, you said something like, I am getting upset at nothing. Now what we want to do is we want to go back and figure out why we were so upset. What was it about extra food? There were some thoughts there. So if I were you, I would get my journal out and I would write, I'm so glad that I noticed this happening in my body. I'm so grateful that not only did I talk about it, I asked a question about it on Corinne's Q&A. I took myself out of the room, set myself up that if this happens again, at least I've seen myself overcome and figure it out. So that's great. But here's what I would love to do next time is my 1% level up. If anybody wants to know, what is a 1% level up? We talk about it all the time in NoBS. A 1% level up is when we're like, what could I just do a little bit better next time? And the reason why we call it a 1% level up is because it makes you think you don't need a 50% level up. You don't need a perfectionistic level up. Like, how do I do better? 100%. It's like, no, we're looking for 1% increments, which means what are the nuances that we could do? So for you, I want you to write about, if I had to take a guess, my top 5 reasons why I might have gotten upset when I started seeing food added after I'd already felt like I ate was. And within that, you'll see, oh, it was that thought. When that started coming up in my mind, that's why I was upset. It wasn't the food. So the next time people could bring in food and I'll be aware that I might start thinking these things. And I might even feel a little upset. But this time I know that's just how I'm thinking about it. So what you can do is take every one of those sentences. You could run them all through the 4 ends. That would be a very helpful exercise. So somebody just said, for me, they get upset because it's like, oh my God, I just ate. Now you've brought in the good stuff and I'm missing out. So of course, if you have already ate and you see more food come in and your best thought is, fuck me, I'm missing out. Like, everybody's getting eaten but me. If I'd known, I don't know, can't tell y'all how many times I have had this thought. If I'd just known we were going to have that, I would have waited. As if my day has been ruined. So what you want to do is you want to do this. You want to say like, all right, I want to put this through the 4 ends. I notice that when I'm not going to eat something and everybody else is, my thought is I'm missing out. And that would be normal because then you can go through and you can normalize it. Like, why might it, like, let me think about Corinne. Why might Corinne think, oh my God, I'm missing out? Probably because when I was a kid, very often I missed out on a lot of things. Kids bullied me. They didn't invite me to parties. They didn't want me to play sports. They didn't want me, like, I was not wanted by my father. There was lots of times in my childhood where I was just unwanted. And the most memories that I have of when I felt included was at meals, cafeteria tables where we had to sit with people. You know, if I did get to go to a birthday party, sitting like, you know, the kids might not play with me at the party, but when it's time for cake, we all sat down around a table and had cake. So feeling included might be like me now as an adult, when I'm actually in the room and I can realize I'm not being excluded, I'm just not eating those foods, could be a reason why my brain jumps to I'm missing out. Could also be something just as simple of if you've always only attached, like if the food was the main event at all your things and you've never practiced being there with other people as important, like even part of the connection, if you've always just made it about the food, it's new to you to be surrounded by food. And now what we do is we're like, oh, I'm not missing out. I'm here for connection. I'm here to see people. It's actually fun watching people enjoy food. I've already enjoyed mine. Me eating more won't make me enjoy that food any better. It won't make me connect to them any better. It's just me eating. So we normalize and then we neutralize. Food was added to the counter after I'd already ate. That is the only thing that happened. That can't cause stress, overwhelm. It can't cause feeling bad until that original thought I noticed is the one that I latch onto. So the next time this happens and that thought comes sweeping, like that situation happens, my automatic brain brings in, oh my God, you're missing out. Oh. This is what I'll tell myself. I'll remind myself, I am relearning what connection is like. I am relearning that I am included here. I am relearning that eating additional food doesn't make the food I've already enjoyed more enjoyable. In fact, it just takes away. It takes away the win I had. It sets me up later to regret that I didn't just stop and turn my attention to being proud and being connected with what's going on around me. I work out 4 to 5 days weekly. I have a problem feeling like I'm doing enough if I'm not constantly doing something strenuous. How can I overcome these shitty thoughts? We have to figure out what you think. Like, why do you think that's not enough? Like, that's what I'd be asking myself, Wendy, is what's underneath that? Like, why do I think 4 to 5 workouts isn't enough? You're probably attaching it to like, well, I'd lose weight. Well, I do this. It's like, is that true? Because it's not. I could take 3 months off from my workouts and I would bet you I wouldn't gain a pound. 3 months. Now, I might not love it because when I work out, that's when I have my booty jams. That's my me time. I love admiring myself in the mirror when I'm doing it. I am vain. I won't even wear sleeves to the gym, y'all. I'm like, oh, if it's upper body day, we better have on some sleeveless because I'm about ready to watch my muscles. It's so enjoyable. But I never sit and think, well, if I can't work out, I'll probably gain weight. You might be. And that is why, like, you're having this anxiety about it. The best way to tell yourself is that if I'm going to work out, I want to have an amazing relationship with it. And when I'm like, for me, especially when I miss a workout and it's not tied to my weight, then it's easy for me to miss a workout and also easy to get back. So like very often, like if I travel, I don't work out on travel days. I never work out on travel days. I'm just like, no, traveling is enough. I don't need any extra stress on this body. Because those workouts don't feel like they contribute. They actually feel like they take away. When I am just having like a really stressful week where, you know, I just got a lot going on. I'm doing the journaling and I feel like I just need some ease. I take walks. Sometimes I'll just stretch on those days. And I never have a problem with it because I feel like I'm giving that to myself versus I need to because of insert my faux reason. And even the same thing with, like, for me, exercise is kind of a stress reliever. I don't even want to be reliant on it for that. Like, I don't want to set myself up to where the only way that I can feel better is to do something external, like eat, exercise, or drink, or buy things. The end of the day, I want to make sure that it's my brain doing the work for me. All right. That's it for today, y'all. Y'all have asked all the questions. Y'all have an amazing week. I will see all of you on Sunday. Chris will be in the hospital, but I told him, I was like, I can either be sitting in the hospital or I can be coaching and keep my mind off things, and then I'll come visit you after. The only way I won't be here this Sunday is if for some reason he's going to get discharged on Sunday. If they want to discharge him, I'll go get him because I know he'll be want to be sprung out of jail. But otherwise, I'll be with y'all and just wish us luck. If you pray for us. I feel so at peace with this now. Like, I have done all the thought work. I've gotten coached. I appreciate all your well wishes and stuff. This is the first time in my life where something major has happened where I know, like I just haven't been worried this week because I've told myself 1,000 times, I'm not worrying about something I don't know yet. We already know that it's caught early. We already know he's got a good surgeon. We already know that it's one of the milder surgeries. And as I think they're cutting 6 inches out, and as long as the margins come clear, like he just has to get a colonoscopy every year and that's it. So I'm not thinking about margins. Like, they will call us when they know something. Up until that point, I'm enjoying my life. I don't want to ever die thinking I wasted weeks on weeks worrying over nothing. And that's my tip for all of y'all. Like, I know sometimes it's really hard not to worry, but that's why, like, for 2 weeks, I journaled every day about, like, what was actually happening, what was factual, what's in my control, what's not in my control, where can I find peace in this? Where can I see that this is actually, like, there's some good coming out of this? Like, where can I see all that? And it took like 2 straight weeks of writing about it every day, a lot of crying, a lot of talking about it. And now it feels very automatic to just not worry about it. Sometimes it just takes a minute to get your brain to wrap around things. All right. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.